Everyone, welcome to Ending the Drought, a Buffalo Bills fan podcast. This is Season 2, Episode 28, and we are rapidly approaching draft day. I am Jason Webster, here with Jake Cranston and Jeff Webster.
Jake.
Hey, fellas.
How do, brother?
It's getting ready for draft time, man.
It is. It really is.
You know, this podcast is coming out on draft day, so we could technically talk about the draft being right now, because when you listen to it, it's going to be draft day.
Right. Right. Pretty much. True.
Yeah.
True. Yeah, we'll hit the morning of the draft. I think it starts like 8 o'clock or some stupid thing.
You know what one thing I miss is I really miss, honestly, the draft being on Saturdays when it was an all-day affair.
Yeah, that was kind of cool.
I miss that.
Yeah, didn't they do like 1, 2, and 3 like on Saturday and then the rest on Sunday or something like that?
Yes, which was great.
That was cool.
Well, I enjoyed it.
I think despite how cold it is this year, normally it would be a pretty nice weekend coming up. And I think that they probably thought people would be out of the house doing fun stuff. So why do them on a Saturday?
People
are trying to get out of their house.
What could be more fun than this?
I think it is kind of like that. True. Plus, I think it's just the NFL. So they want like that like primetime TV.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so like a Thursday night. Like what is everybody doing on a Thursday night besides sitting at home watching TV? So
exactly.
Right.
But
that's very true.
I just missed it because it was cool. You knew what was going to happen on Saturday. You woke up and would it start, Jeff, at like noon or 1 o'clock? Well,
1 o'clock, I think.
You had like four hours or 5 hours or whatever it was.
Maybe it had something to do with the West Coast too. You know, all that gets
could have, yeah.
Dicey.
I'm sure.
It 1 o'clock, it's like what 10 a.m. or something.
Right.
Know, like maybe.
Yeah.
But whatever the deal. You're right. There was a lot to like about that too.
Yeah. So. Hey, to mention, you know, scheduling and the NFL and stuff. Did you guys look into at all how Amazon is pulling in the NFL on Prime now? Did you guys see
making that a permanent thing, right?
Yeah. So the college announcer Kirk Herbstreit actually left college football. He was like their guy for college football. Did all primetime games. You know, did the college football playoffs. He left and he is going to Amazon Prime to do NFL football.
That's awesome,
man. Yeah. But they are throwing around the idea that they might want to do an exclusive Prime Amazon game on Black Friday for the NFL.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
What's your thoughts on that?
I can understand why they would do that, but I mean, Oh my God. I'm just now clicking in my head why that's brilliant. You stop people from going fucking shopping anywhere else. They have to be home to watch football at dinner time.
Dude, did you read the article?
No.
That's like the answer.
I didn't read anything about that part.
So that,
ding, 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 that's, ding. We have a winner.
For real though, that's awesome, Jay. Yeah. But that's one of the biggest reasons they're marketing the way they can market that on Black Friday. Is ginormous for Amazon.
Hello, the money.
Holy hell.
Yeah.
So is college football wrapped up by then? Because usually NFL doesn't like treading on toes. They don't like getting involved in Friday nights because of the college football.
Black Friday falls, it's November. It's like the
end of November.
Yeah. So college it's like real close. Like to the last weekend. It's summer.
So being a holiday, maybe they don't have any football.
Yeah. No, week. I don't think so.
That's cool.
Not that I can think that's of. Neat. But yeah, I read an article. It was just a quick from Yahoo. I got a notification and I was like, wow, that's kind of neat.
Like, that is. That's very cool.
Like, but do you think the NFL or these streaming services are going to start going more exclusive? Like if Prime's doing it, or is anywhere else going to start being like, hey, you got to pay to play type thing like ESPN Plus?
I'm sure that they would love to do that. But I think that when you start dragging people in too many different directions for how many streaming services they have to have, especially in a post-cord cutting world, I don't know, it would just cut their own throat.
It's what I was thinking.
It is weird.
That's exactly what I was thinking. Because
for one game or something, sure. But like not like anything more than that.
Right.
Yeah.
And I don't know because I didn't look really deep into it, but Prime has a certain amount of games that they're streaming. I just don't know what it is or how it's going to work. But
it's probably going to be all Thursday games just like it was before.
Probably something like that. It's going to be enough where they pulled Kirk Herbstreit, which has been with college football for the last 25 years or whatever it's been.
Do you think these COVID shifts, having to play on Tuesdays and Wednesdays and stuff, open the door to the possibility that they may want to expand primetime. You know what I mean? Maybe because there's so many games. How do you watch four different games at 1 o'clock on a on a Sunday? We do it because we got the red zone.
Sure.
You know, as long as it's not a Bills game, because obviously if it's your hometown team, you're you're focusing on that. But yeah, I mean, maybe spreading it out a little bit more.
Dude,
revenue wise,
the only days you don't watch football right now are Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Fridays, and Saturdays.
Yep. And some of the Saturdays you do.
Right. You kind of like and flex scheduling towards the end of the year. But I think the NFL eventually is going to move to the point where you're basically going to have football every day of the week.
Yeah.
I mean, why wouldn't they?
It makes sense. Yeah. As long as people are watching. They're paying the bills. Yeah.
Well, and like you said, like Wednesday and Thursday, it's not like people are going out and doing anything.
Yeah.
Like,
well, yeah.
It's just right now it's a good spot for them to gobble it up.
Yeah. I mean, Tuesdays is Taco Tuesdays. So, you know, like you could be watching at the bar, eating some tacos, you know.
Taco Bell.
But yeah, I think that's eventually like the NFL is going to. I mean, they nabbed up. I mean, whoever thought they're going to go Thursday nights?
Well, right.
You
right.
know, like.
Yeah, that was an odd one, right? Like,
yeah.
Especially since it's only 3 days after Monday night football and it's 3 days before Sunday. It's like, pretty dicey, but they make it work.
The thing is like, all right, is rest time going to come into a factor? It would, but it wouldn't in the same way because you would have, like, if you played on a Tuesday, you know, obviously you're not going to schedule the Bills to play on Thursday. So I wonder how the NFLPA would look at it.
Right. Because that's going to be a factor.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You know?
Yeah. Just trying to.
It's interesting to think about.
Yeah. Yeah. It is.
But yeah, there's
something.
Cool.
Well, there's something to be said about keeping your brand pure. You know what I mean? And I think if you spread yourself too thin in any direction, whether it's what streaming services you're on or what channels you have to watch it on or anything, it's just going to take people away from liking it.
Yeah. Yeah. Could you
oversaturate the NFL?
Saturate it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Could that happen? Probably.
I think so.
Yeah. I mean, especially the married men, the wives would be like, oh my God, you're watching football every day of the week.
Yeah, no shit. Well, even look at what we talked about with baseball.
Yeah.
Like baseball is literally every day, every day.
Well, let me ask you guys a question. Like, do you have any idea what the valuation would be of the Bills if someone wanted to buy the team?
I think they're
$3 or $4 billion or something.
Maybe
it's two because I think they paid like 1.4. Now it's a little over 2 billion or something.
Somewhere in that area.
So now you've got a world where to talk about a current event type thing, you've got a world where Elon Musk buys Twitter for $46 billion or whatever it is. Is there a possibility that like Bezos could be
just kind of
moving into that area and in a couple years it's going to be the Amazon NFL or some shit?
Well, probably because right now Amazon pretty much has their hands in every single thing you could think of. Yeah. If Amazon is dipping in, and it must have cost Bezos a decent amount of money to exclusively get Prime NFL games. You know what I mean? Because to think of like what the contracts are between the NFL and like ABC.
Oh, yeah.
ESPN.
Well, and ABC is big enough, but I don't know if ESPN is to compete with them. If he like wanted to shove them out, I think he could probably pull it off.
Yeah. Amazon could. If Amazon wanted to squish the ESPN, they could totally do it. Yeah. They're large enough.
Fox, any of them, they probably could do it if they wanted to.
But it's weird because when you get like a Amazon, like a streaming service, the way it is, I don't look at Amazon like Netflix, for instance. Like if I'm going to go and watch movies, and Netflix is just pumping out new releases and really cool stuff. Amazon, there is nothing on Amazon that I would care to watch, like, you know, like any series or.
Yeah. And 99% of the time I would agree with you. A few years ago, they had, you know, a couple of really good shows like Man in the High Tower, stuff like that.
Yep.
I feel like they've been kind of falling off lately.
Right.
And I don't think they're going to let that go. And I mean, part of it is Lord of the Rings. They've been putting so much into that. I just saw a thing that like the most paid per episode before was like, I think it was like Game of Thrones, for example, was like $18 million per episode. Mm-hmm. This is going to be like $57 million an episode or some shit.
Wow.
It's just fucking crazy.
Yeah.
But, you know, it is one of those things that I could totally see a world where there would be a benefit to people like us if you knew that like all the football games are going to be streaming on Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
Like how many people would buy that if you could just go to one place?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you're basically, when you're negotiating with the NFL, you're not negotiating for anything other than the right to sell shit, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, that's, you're showing a game, people are watching the game, advertisers want their ads to be seen. So obviously, if a lot of people are watching a football game, a lot of people are seeing your ads. That's all they're paying for.
Yeah.
So I can see Amazon absolutely doing that because there's huge money.
Ginormous.
There's huge money in that.
Yeah. Shit. Like, what if Jeff Bezos goes to the NFL and he's like, look, we want to get exclusive rights to take Monday Night Football over to Amazon. This is what we're willing to pay you. You think the NFL would be like, I don't know, ESPN. I don't know,
twice what we're getting now? Is that really worth it?
If,
yeah, okay.
Like Jay said, if you want it bad enough, like, you know, Elon Musk wanted Twitter, Bezos goes up and is like, hey, this is what I'll pay you this much. And how could the NFL be like, I don't know.
Well, and that's the one difference, right? Like I talked about the purity of it. There's a lot of old fucks who've been doing this forever in the NFL, whereas Twitter was such a young company. It was like 40-some-year-old guys. They could see the value in just dipping out and letting him take care of shit.
Yeah.
But with the NFL, I mean, I think there's something to it about that like power, that control that they have over it, that mm-hmm. it would be hard to hand, you know, a lot of it away.
Yeah.
But if it's just in the neighborhood of like, you know, I don't know, like maybe every Monday and Thursday night game is going to be on Amazon.
Right.
And then you see like the halftime show lightning deals or some crazy shit. Like, you know, it would certainly change things, but it wouldn't be that devastating. So.
Yeah. And there's no way that Bezos hasn't at least, I mean, if the NFL is already getting involved with Amazon,
they've had conversations.
There's no way Bezos hasn't kind of been like, so what do you guys think?
Yeah, he doesn't
think?
Play
like,
small.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. This is many, many zeros, man. This is huge. And they know that. It's no secret. The NFL knows that.
Yeah.
So right now the NFL's holding all the cards, but at the same time, the more chunk that Amazon takes, the less likely the NFL is going to be able to ever say, that's it, you're out.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck you guys. Because that would be just absolutely devastating to them. Not that they couldn't replace that airtime or whatever.
Right.
But yeah, Amazon, they have a way of, obviously big money has a way of working their way into a situation that's really hard to get out of.
Yeah.
That's the goal.
And look at the draft. Look at the draft, dude. It was held in New York City for forever.
Yep.
Then they're like, maybe we can go to some different cities. They go to Nashville. It was the most mob you've ever seen in the draft.
Right.
Now it's in Vegas.
Well, right. let me ask
city
you guys.
That never sleeps, man.
And this is one of those things you could probably Google it and figure it out, but I'm going to have fun in Playland right now. What if Hulu partnered with Disney and ESPN? And like the value of that for ESPN was to avoid being a little fish in a big pond that could get gobbled up by Amazon. Because for Hulu, if that were to happen, it would really cut into, you know, the people signing up to their subscription service. So by taking ESPN away before Amazon could get to them, they kind of protected themselves in a way.
Oh, yeah. I get where you're coming from.
Yeah.
Have it
all under the Disney umbrella so that Amazon doesn't become the winner.
If you look at like even on a global stage, one of the reasons there is a European Union is because they were all small fishes. But now, by combining themselves into, they're not a superpower by any means, but they definitely raise the stakes as far as their interest in the global marketplace for the exact same thing.
Yeah.
There's certain protections that come with company, and that's really smart, man. That's probably exactly why, and not exactly why they went down, but that probably was part of the factor.
That had to be a thought process. Yeah. I mean, because honestly, it could be at the end game, it could be Disney and freaking Amazon.
Right.
You know, they're ginormous companies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If they gobble up all the other streaming services, I won't be surprised.
It'd be hard to look any different at it because
I'm surprised that Amazon is slipping though, like we talked about. Like,
yeah.
It's just so they have so much money to throw at it, they could acquire anything.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I don't know. It's weird. I read a couple articles that Bezos really wanted to start just pumping stuff into Amazon Prime, you know, streaming as far as kind of like Netflix where you go and you watch your series. And I knew, you know, from reading that article, he was really going at that. And it just seems, you know, there's some decent stuff that's on there. Like there's that new series, Jack Reacher, or whatever it's supposed to be.
Right,
like
right.
There's some decent stuff.
John Krasinski or whatever.
Yeah. But when you go, you know, you got and I know Netflix really established themselves as what they were, but when Netflix came out, they first came out, it was like all you could find is just all nostalgic older movies, this and that. And then reruns. They just kind of went boing way up. And now everything is Netflix, dude. You got Adam Sandler's Netflix. I mean, The Rock and I mean, all these huge stars are just, there's so many new streaming and movies. And
in between Hulu and Paramount and all the other ones like that, you've got all the TV gobbled up. Right. There's like no, there's like no good shows on Amazon that I can think of.
Not same here.
Not that you like, can't get somewhere else.
It's like the movie place, right? Like we always go if we're gonna for movie rentals. A movie, we want to watch a movie, we'll go to.
But then Amazon. They're also competing with Vudu for that, and
A lot of them, have it. You know, I mean, it's weird.
Google Play and all that shit.
Yeah,
Apple. Yeah. No, that's a good conversation. I like that because
not sure what the fuck it has to do with the draft, but I'm enjoying it. Yeah.
Well, we've been talking about the draft for a month, so you know, it's cool to talk about something else for a little bit.
That's true.
Yeah, it just kind of caught my attention that Amazon is really getting into the NFL, and then they're like, what if we could do a Black Friday game exclusive on you? That's like, sheesh, man.
Yeah, because
it took me all of about 5 seconds to go, that's a really good fucking idea. Here's why.
Yeah.
So imagine how excited they must be over at Amazon about this idea.
Oh, God.
And that's what's weird is because for us, it's really hard to always focus on the long game, right? What's the real goal at the end? Because we don't normally think in those terms. I think that's all these guys think about.
Mm-hmm.
They don't give a shit what's happening today or tomorrow. Where are we going to be 5 years from now?
Yeah.
Well, maybe we'll own the NFL.
Yeah. And the other thing I wanted to bring up to you guys, too, that was a good point. 4K right now streaming.
Oh, yeah.
Why the heck does the NFL not do that 4K streaming?
For sure.
It's absolutely. Just, I don't understand that.
Maybe it's, I don't know. Maybe it's because a lot of people can't do it, like, effectively with the internet that they have.
It could be.
I don't know.
Yeah, what does it take, like, camera-wise? Like, all the cameras they have to shoot games and shit right now?
I bet
you
they already shoot them in 4K.
Yeah? I would assume, right?
If you were to buy, like, a game off of Blu-ray or something, that you could probably get it in 4K.
Right.
Because
I don't know how that shit works.
The new league that just formed up again, the USFL, is streaming in 4K. Now, the reason I feel like that is happening is the USFL is... They already came out and pretty much said, like, our league exists because of the NFL. Like, we're doing everything in this league because the NFL wants to test all of this stuff. You know, they got a microchip in the ball to be able to test when it crosses the goal line, if they can tell if it's score or not, so they don't have to go to review all the time.
That's right. Clever shit.
They have drones that are flying overhead and doing different camera angles. And, you know, to me, it feels like it's all kind of a test for the NFL to see how it works out. And maybe the NFL is going to be coming quicker with it.
Have you seen anything? Have you watched
The USFL? Yeah, I paid attention to a couple games. I don't sit there and watch the whole thing.
Right. I'm just curious because, like, so many times USFL and other leagues have come in and then they've bowed out. And I don't know how much interest they're going to be able to hold.
Yeah,
maybe this will help.
I think it's going to survive if the NFL can keep using them for testing how to improve the NFL. So, like, here's one big thing that the USFL is doing that I think is really awesome is everybody's mic'd up the entire game. So whoever they want to go to and you want to hear, they go to the quarterback or they go to a running back or a defensive back or to the coach. Then they have Mike Pereira. He is the lead commissioner guy that sits in a room. And they have probably 20, like, 50-inch TVs around them. And they show that. And they go to Mike Pereira, camera on him, and they're talking to him.
Right.
Like, the announcers are talking to him. Hey, Mike, what do you think is going to happen here with this call? Was that a personal foul? Did he have 2 feet in, whatever?
Is he, like, a referee kind of a guy?
He's, like the head ref office.
I gotcha. Yeah, that's cool.
So what happens is, like, us as the viewer gets to see him watching the replay and then making the call live and then sending it down to the ref. Like, it's just all personalized to the viewer, which I think would be so cool if the NFL could do that.
Well, that's why the embedded shows and everything are so cool, because you get to see a little bit behind the scenes.
Well, and I would imagine that the target demographic for the NFL is probably like 35 to 60, something like that.
Yeah.
Whereas I would think the USFL would be targeted more towards a younger demographic. So having those cool things in it might be the only way they could stay alive.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's cool.
Having all sorts of technological advances.
Hey, I'm all for football, man. Whatever form it comes in. I've watched the Canadian Football League many times.
Yeah.
You know, it's just fun. It's just neat. I like it.
I just think that the USFL is really going to be there to move the NFL into the future, you know, because the USFL, like, they play all their games in Birmingham, Alabama. There's literally nobody in the stands.
Right.
Every game. There's nobody. So the income that they get is... it's got to be fed by the NFL. Like, sure. How else are you going to survive, you know?
Well, and we talked about the farm club idea. You know, how cool it would it be that, like, if the AFC East had a team, that not one team, but, like, all four teams in the AFC East have a practice squad team or whatever, that they form a league.
Yeah, like a minor league team, yeah.
Yeah, like a minor league team where mm-hmm. you can evaluate players and – that'd be kind of neat. I mean, I'm all for, well, like I said, football in any way.
Every other sport has a minor league, if you really look at it. The NBA developed a D League about 5-6 years ago.
Bisons or the Toronto's.
Toronto. Yeah, like the Major League Baseball, every team has a minor league team.
NHL clubs
do. NHL has, you know, their AHL teams or their OHL teams or whatever. Like, so they have, you know, like you draft a guy like Owen Power. And he is not developed the way you want him to, so you send him down. He's develop him.
He's in the AHL for a year.
You bring him up. Yeah, the NFL is so, like, you know, I perform today or you're out. And that's the thing that – only one thing I hate about the NFL is you get guys like Ryan Leaf coming into the league, right? And he just peters out. And you're done with him. Bye. You couldn't survive in the NFL.
2 years or which, whatever.
What if you had a D-League where Ryan Leaf wasn't cutting it? You send him down, let him develop. Maybe that's all he needs.
I mean, honestly, I love the example, and Bills fans know extremely well.
Yeah.
Doug Flutie.
Right.
Right?
Right.
He can't make it in the NFL. He goes to the CFL, wins, what, 2 Grey Cups? And I think the NFL looked at it and went, yeah, we kind of made a mistake there. I mean,
sure.
Maybe there's guys like that, and now you got Russell Wilson that's maybe a little bit taller, but not huge.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that is an all-star, a perennial.
Right. Well, and so, I'm kind of a soft-hearted person, but I think it's nice to give people more advantages in the world who, you know, grow up and they're athletic and they want to do that for a living and then they maybe don't make it. So give them the opportunity to be on a practice squad or a minor league team or whatever and you know, have an income.
Yeah.
And, you know, and even beyond that, like in minor league baseball, some of these guys play way later than the major league guys because – it's such a less impactive game physically that they can play for a few years longer.
Yeah.
So give us something like that for football.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. You never know. Sense. Like Fred Jackson's a great story, man. He played in Europe.
Yeah.
Then he comes to the Buffalo Bills, was crazy successful. I mean, he was an awesome running back. He's a damn good ball player.
Oh, yeah. And there's just, you know, guys that everybody.
F.A. Obata. I mean, there's.
Yeah.
You know, we could be taking these international players, these college players that maybe went undrafted or, you know, maybe give teams an extra half a dozen guys or whatever, and they can work in the farm club and coaches can coach them up. And yeah, it would be very cool, I think.
I think
it would be
so
good for football.
It's just everybody develops in the game differently. You know,
sure.
Yes, you're going to get your stars. They're going to come out first round, whatever. They're gonna win, you know, at. Is that your phone going off, Jeff?
Might be. might be.
Mine's muted, so I'm pretty sure that
it's probably from the Bills. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
A new season of Embedded debuts in 24 hours.
Okay. All right.
Oh, geez. Well, that'll be the ding-dong of us getting back on track here. So why don't we go to commercial real quick, and when we come back, we can talk about some of the stuff we actually were going to talk about today.
Yeah.
I love it.
We'll dig into the draft. Sounds good, guys.
Do it.
We are very excited to tell you about our new partnership with a great company right here in Springville, New York, Dilly Dally's Spices and Sauces. Owner-operator Dylan Wheeler started Dilly Dally's to find the most epic spice blends this world has to offer. And from that quest, he has collected a massive variety of gourmet and specialty products. We're talking 274 hot sauces, 147 barbecue sauces, and 125 barbecue rubs. They have spices, seasonings, drink mixes, even locally made cheeses, from Cuba Cheese Shop and Yancey's Fancy. It doesn't matter whether you're a spice fiend looking for a new flavor for your hot wings or you just want to try a new Bloody Mary mix, you'll find it at Dilly Dally's. Trust us, you won't find a better variety anywhere else in Western New York. You can find Dilly Dally's at 53 East Main Street in Springville. Just look for the logo of the cool hot pepper with sunglasses on it. Tell Dylan that Ending the Drought podcast sent you and he will give you 10% off your order. He also has online ordering that ships products all over the state. His website is dillyspices.com. That's D-I-L-L-Y spices.com. And we're back.
Yo, guys.
Hello, y'all.
Make sure you get down to Dilly Dally's.
That's right, dude.
Yes.
Yeah, we got to get that rolling too, man. I can't wait for a taste test. I'm kind of hungry right now. But we'll do that pretty soon, I think.
I have to swing down there soon because I'm running out of all my different hot sauces, so I gotta pick up some more stuff, man.
Yeah, dude, I gotta get some of your rub.
Oh yeah, remember? Yeah, you like my rub, don't you?
No, I gave mine to somebody. This was like last year. Somebody said, "Yeah, I gotta get one of them," and I'm like, "Well, here, take mine. I'll just get another one from Jake." And it's like,
"Oh yeah, right."
Yeah, I just never got another one.
Yeah, if you like, thanks a lot, Jake. If you like Jake and the Fat Man Barbecue, and you want to try some of the stuff that he does at home, you can find it over at Dilly Dally's.
Yeah, get the rub. That's worth
it. I'm going to get some sauces in there too, I think. So
yeah, man, for sure. Yeah,
for sure. But yeah. All right. Well,
it's back to business.
We're going to dig into a little bit of the draft here, obviously, because that is on the brink. And Jeff and I always like doing mock drafts. We look at mock drafts pretty much the start of mock draft time, which would be like after the Super Bowl.
Yeah, right. So, like immediately.
Yeah.
As soon as the Bills are done.
Yeah.
Bunch of freaks.
Right? Yeah. I know. But so, yeah, we use the Draft Network, which is pretty much one of the most popular ones that I typically see. I know you typically see too, Jeff.
Sure.
So we both did kind of like our final mock drafts today to talk about on the podcast. So, and again, starting off with pick number 25 for me.
Are we going to do the straight up draft? No trades, right?
Yeah, we'll just kind of talk about that one first. And okay. We can talk about the trade one that we did just for fun.
Yeah, for sure.
But the no trade, just straight up picks. At 25, I had to go cornerback because I think that's the biggest need. We already know that. I discussed it big time with everybody else, but I went 25 with Andrew Booth Jr. from Clemson, cornerback. Again, I like his athleticism. I like his size. I like what he can bring to the table. Some people have him dropping into the second round, but if he's there at 25, based on what we've seen, I feel like that's got to be one of the most consensus picks there at 25.
Yeah, I'm with you. And I also, in my draft, and again, as everybody knows, the neat thing about an NFL draft is you know nothing is for sure. Like this year, we don't even know for sure who the first round pick is going to be. There's a lot of different talk out there. Mm-hmm. So you can only draft guys that are available when you get there. There are plenty of guys that we would consider at that spot, not just cornerback. I had Andrew Booth available. I personally think he may actually go before 25, but he was available. I drafted him also.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's former five-star recruit. I don't think he's a sure thing necessarily, but he's about as close to that as you're going to get. He's just
I agree.
Played at Clemson.
Yep.
Yeah, he's just a good cornerback. And like you said, good size, good length. I think he's going to be a very good cornerback, and I would be very pleased if the Bills ultimately did draft him, for sure.
Well, he faces great competition, right? I mean, Clemson being who Clemson is the last handful of years, maybe a little bit longer than that, they always draw the best competition. They're always typically in the college playoffs. This past year, they weren't the greatest because of – losing a lot of guys, you know, when you get teams like Clemson or Alabama, you know, sometimes they don't re-up the best. And Alabama actually re-ups very well every year, but Clemson had a down year as far as going far into college football and in the playoffs. But they play the best of the best in college football. So when you're drafting a guy from Clemson like Andrew Booth Jr., you're getting a guy that sees pretty much, you know, NFL talent on a daily basis.
Sorry.
No, you're good. That's,
I agree.
That's the one thing, too, that, you know, me personally, I look for is guys that are going to bring competition, you know, to the team, what they faced in college too, you know?
Yeah, he's a pretty physical guy.
Yeah.
They actually compare him to, in the draft network, to Jair Alexander out of Seattle.
Okay.
They're, I think he was drafted by Green Bay, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Yep. So that's pretty good, I would say. Yeah, there's a lot to like with that dude, for sure.
Agreeable. 57, so our second round pick at 57. He was available. I couldn't pass it up. I'll take as many corners as you can get at a high level. You know, I'm not going to sit here and say let's draft four or five corners. That's not what I'm saying.
Right, but right.
If you can get two high level corners, I'm all for it. So 57, he was there. I took Roger McCreary out of Auburn.
Yep.
He, another guy that plays very aggressive. He's got good intangibles. 6 foot. 175, you know, he's probably right around Trey size, maybe a little bigger. But, yeah, I mean, he plays in the SEC. That he's facing LSU. He's facing Alabama. You know, he's facing top-tier talent every week. He shut down, by the way, a guy that was being mocked to the Bills here and there from Penn State, none other than Jahan Dotson.
Right.
Roger McCreary. And he's more of a man press coverage type guy.
Right, which and, the Bills do play a fair amount of.
Yeah, and he shut down Jahan Dotson when they played Penn State this past year.
Nice.
Shut him right down. So he definitely has what it takes to be a good corner in this league. And if you could get a guy like him at 57, in my opinion, I'd feel like it would be hard to pass up right now. But, again, I'm not Brandon Bean, so I couldn't tell you.
Right.
But.
Well, and the funny thing is, too, like he's one of those players that I've seen mocked late first, early second.
Right.
Like he's kind of been all over the map, and I don't know, you know, what the deal is, specific reasons for that, but you don't get to know. It's just like in the draft, there's going to be a player that people are going to scratch their head going, how did that guy fall that far?
Yeah.
And they're also going to go, why did this team reach for a guy they probably could have gotten in the second round, in the first? It happens every year. You know, we talk about Daniel Jones was a bit of a shock for a lot of people where he was drafted, but
right.
For me, I don't know if he was available at that point, but because the Bills spent so much time trying to find that receiving back, we talked about Devin Singletary. He's coming up on his final year. Running backs are tough to re-sign after their rookie deal. They get to be quite expensive. Don't know how much the Bills are willing to invest in that position. Isaiah Spiller was available. He's one of those guys that has very soft hands, very good catching passes out of the backfield. That's something obviously they like, or at least we're looking for this year. And yeah, they actually, again, the Draft Network kind of pairs him up in comparison to a player like Joe Mixon. To me, that's pretty good. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So, and again, there's no guarantees with any players, but coming out of Texas A&M, again, some pretty decent competition. I think he'd make a good addition to the team.
Yeah. And just one quick note that Texas A&M used to be in the Big 12. They bid out. Now they play in the SEC.
Right.
So, again, now you're getting talent out of that, you know, program that's playing LSU,
right?
You know,
some of the Alabama. Better teams again.
Yeah, again. So yeah, Isaiah Spiller, if he's a top rated back in the best division, arguably in college football.
Yeah,
yeah. How, it's hard to argue about that. So
sure,
I like that pick. I wouldn't.
Yeah, the same feel as yours. Yeah, it wouldn't bother me either.
First round, I would not like a running back.
Yeah,
I just want to make it clear.
Same
but
here.
I mean, again,
we both agree on this 100%.
Yeah.
I even question whether or not the Bills would spend the capital for a running back in the second round when probably in the third round they could get James Cook,
yep.
Dalvin Cook's younger brother, who's also very good catching passes. So who knows? But that's where we ended up in my pick.
Yeah, and then round three, pick 89. I really like that he was there. I just don't know if he's going to be there or not, but we'll see. He was on the Draft Network. So at 89, I took linebacker Troy Anderson.
That's a good pick, only because I did the exact same thing.
Did you?
I've already said I'm just fascinated with this guy's versatility.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Yep. Like, it's crazy to have a guy who played quarterback, running back, and linebacker. And he's got good size. It's
good
not
size,
like he's 6'4".
Right.
233. You know?
Yep.
He's a good-sized dude, so... I don't know. I think I just like the thought of it.
No, yeah. And I think if you draft a guy like that in the third round, you're getting somewhat of a little bit of a project.
Sure.
A guy that you just have to teach how to play the position. Again, because he's so raw at that position, he's a guy that is going to need to be coached up. And what better of a program to go to than the Buffalo Bills to learn how to play a position? I mean, let's be honest. That's kind of the Bills' MO, really, right? I mean, Josh Allen, you know, people knew he would be somewhat of a project.
Yep.
You know, if you look at guys like Spencer Brown, you know, even maybe Ed Oliver a little bit. Like, he fell to our lap at 9, but yeah, a guy that still needed to be refined in how to play the position in the NFL.
Absolutely.
So just, you know, freak athletes. Again, Greg Rousseau, same type of thing. You know,
Matt Milano slips to the 5th round.
Right.
Come on, man.
Just the guys that we're able to turn into big-time, you know, players that, again, are just really paying dividends for what we're doing. I mean, our scouting department has been just so on point with getting this talent in. So
yeah, absolutely. You can't question what they've been able to accomplish in the draft so far.
Yeah. But
I actually did see something where they talked about over the course of the last 4 years. Pretty sure the Bills were either number one or number two as far as draft value.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
Whoever put that together, I don't remember. But yeah, it's pretty good. They've done good. Yeah, they've done good.
It's good. Yeah. After that, I mean, we're getting into rounds where, you know, I can't really.
it starts to get a little more gray area.
Yeah. I don't know. After three, four rounds, it starts getting dicey for me. My fourth pick, I took a guy named Danny Gray, wide receiver out of SMU. Don't know a whole lot about him. I've heard of him. I know he has 4.3 speed. He's 6'6", 6'1". He had a decent couple years at SMU. Another guy that can be developed. But I like the speed aspect out of him. A guy that runs a 4.3. Hey,
right.
That's a guy that if you can get a player like him on the Bills with an arm that Josh Allen has, I'll take it.
So. Well, I actually ended up in the same boat. There's a fellow out of Baylor named Tyquan Thornton. That 6'2", 177, flies.
Yeah.
So as far as a vertical threat, downfield threat, good size for a really, really fast guy. Same concept. Who the Bills would value more or who may or may not be available at that point.
Yeah.
Obviously, you can have lots of conversations about that. But
right.
I thought he kind of fit the bill for maybe somebody the Bills might be looking at. They got the slot covered. They got their X and Y guys. Maybe a guy that's a little bit of a burner, but has a little more size than a lot of speedsters.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, yeah.
Absolutely. For me, I'm pretty good there, Jeff. I can't really.
Same here.
After that, I can't explain anybody else. I don't go that deep into the draft.
Right. A lot of them are going to be project guys, right? Like at that point, you've got offensive linemen and maybe a tight end or another cornerback. The guys you're going to develop. Guys are going to maybe even play special teams.
Yep.
So, it gets a little trickier.
My opinion, too, I don't think after you get past pick 130, I don't think we're going to have many picks even available after that.
I agree.
I feel like Brandon Bean's going to try to, you know, package most of the rest of those picks up and maybe get an extra third, an extra fourth. And honestly, dude, I just don't think that you're going to get more than 4 or 5 players to even make this roster. So,
To
me.
And I think they know that, right?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, they got to know that.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it was hard to make this roster last year. And then the talent that we're going to, or we did add in the draft now, it's going to be too tough. I mean, after pick 130, I just don't see it. So, but then when we messed around, we'll just cover that real quick. We did a quick with trades on the Draft Network.
Yeah.
I stood steady at 25 and took Treylon Burks at wide receiver at 25.
Okay.
57, I took Kobe Bryant. Didn't really get to watch a lot of him because I paid a lot of attention to Sauce Gardner. But
no, I mentioned him before. Yeah, I look at him for a cornerback. He's a good dude.
He was a highly rated quarterback in college football. He got kind of overshadowed by Sauce Gardner. But
right.
If he was there at 57, I'd take him. And then I had a couple fourth-round picks that I traded with. I had an 80, 110, and 129. So I took Brian Asamoah, linebacker. Mm-hmm. Then a Spencer Burford, don't know a whole lot about him. I know a little bit. And then Hassan Haskins, which was one of my guys from Michigan, a running back that I really liked his running style. Not a really quick guy. He reminds me kind of like a Zach Moss,
yeah,
you know.
Right.
But he can find the hole. He's a tough runner. So,
which the Bills like that.
Yeah, I wouldn't be mad if we were – grabbing him in fourth round. So that was just my mess around with
trading.
Yeah.
I actually I traded back 25 to a team that we're going to become more and more familiar with, and I think that we'll probably be willing to work with the Bills and the New York Giants.
Yeah.
They have a lot of needs. So I took a lot of the late end picks along with obviously our 25th to get extra second and third round picks. And one of them, my first pick was actually at 36 now. There was a safety by the name of Jaquan Brisker.
Okay.
Who actually is fairly highly rated safety. He could actually be a convert. He could play cornerback. I don't know. We'll have to see how that goes. But the one everybody's clamoring for at 25, Breece Hall, was available at 57. Personally, if Isaiah Spiller is there, I'm taking him instead. But Hall was available, kind of a fan service there.
See, I'd like that pick, you know?
At 57.
At 57, if Breece Hall's there, I'll take it. You know, yeah. It's just...
Yeah, he's not a bad ball player. I mean, he's a good ball player. It's just again, not worth a 25.
25, I can't see...
No way.
It's just not Brandon Bean's MO. I can't not see it happening at 25 at all. But 57?
Yeah. Yeah.
I think it's a high possibility.
Yeah. There was a pretty decent guard available at 67 from... He actually played at Memphis, Dylan Parham.
Okay, yep.
And then also at 81, Brian Asamoah was available.
I got him
there. And then there's a fella at 89, and I'm going to stop there. Alec Pierce, a wide receiver out of Cincinnati.
Okay, yep.
6'3", 213 pounds, multi-sport player. I think he played in four. He was at track and field and three other sports.
Yeah.
In college.
That's what my Danny Gray guy. Just
same did. Concept,
he,
right?
He was basically a track star in college. Yeah, he was one of their like top-rated track guys, I guess. So, yeah.
Yeah, he's one of those guys that, you know, kind of checks the boxes that the Bills really look for. Is he an athlete? Yeah. Can he catch the ball? Sure. Good size, physical, doesn't mind blocking. You know what I mean? Like, yep. I think the Bills like that kind of a player, and that's why he sits where he is.
Yeah, and it's tough to go through a mock draft after three rounds and really
– I think for everybody,
just pinpoint
right?
anybody. Like, who's going that deep and really looking into guys, you know, after pick freaking 80 or something?
Dude,
like,
there's a reason why they're going to pay somebody $10 million to pick the first round right.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I think I've seen something like that, at least like $5 million or something like that.
Right.
Some ridiculous amount of money if you pick every pick in the first round right.
Good luck.
Yeah. So what's the odds that you're going to get like one or two right in the third, fourth, or fifth round?
What do you think the odds are to pick all 32 right in the first round?
There's almost no way.
It's got to be small, man.
Like I told you, the one guy I heard on the radio go, listen, I've been picking, you know, doing drafts for like 12 years or whatever.
Yeah.
This may be the first time I can't even tell you who the first overall pick's going to be. And I agree. Like, you know, everybody's here in, what is it, Trayvon Walker or whatever. I believe that's the name.
From Michigan State. Yep.
To the Jags, but everybody knows it should be Aiden Hutchinson. So are they just...
Oh, wait, not from Michigan State. I'm sorry, Jeff. Georgia. Sorry.
Oh, from Georgia. Yeah. So who knows if they're just blowing smoke up everybody's ass or they actually think they like this guy. It's Jacksonville, so God only knows. You know what I mean?
You know, in my opinion, again, if Jacksonville takes a guy like Trayvon Walker at number one over
Aiden Hutchinson,
and I'm partial. Everybody out there that listens to our podcast knows I'm a huge Michigan guy. Right. But let's just look at... You know, the difference real quick. you know, when you got a guy like Aiden Hutchinson and Trayvon Walker, two totally different guys. Trayvon Walker is a big D end, more of a run stuffing type D end, doesn't get upfield quick, doesn't have great hand work. He's just not one of those guys. But the thing that people are looking at too, Jeff, is Georgia had a historic defense this year.
Right.
Historic, meaning they let the least amount of points out of any college defense in D1 history. And they also led in total yardage, you know, a couple of things, whatever. They were the most historic defense
right
this past year. So yeah, you're going to get a guy like, you know, Trayvon Walker that people are going to be like, oh, well, he was a part of this defense, blah, blah, blah. But then you move over to Aiden Hutchinson and you look at his body of work, arguably, again, maybe the best division in college football in the Big Ten.
Right.
Plays Ohio State, totally dominated him. Plays Penn State, totally dominated him. You know, like, go back and look at his tape and his film on some of these teams he played, and he was just a complete domination. He was the best defensive end, bar none, in the country.
Right.
So for Jacksonville to say, hey, I think, you know, Trayvon Walker's our guy, to me, that just says you have a really bad scouting department.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah,
or you don't know what's the best move for your own team.
Well, it's just, like,
yeah.
I don't know. It's Jacksonville, too. Like, you go and look at some of the moves they've been making. You know, look at the debacle with, you know, with Urban Meyer. You know, they couldn't.
Oh, yeah.
The whole crap with him, and then they fire him. And I don't know. It's just Jacksonville, to me, right now, seems like a shit show. They're picking number one for a reason.
Yep.
And, hey, you want to take a guy like Trayvon Walker? Go ahead.
Yeah, but for sure.
I don't know. It just doesn't make sense to me.
It definitely is weird. It just feels wrong.
It is odd. But who knows? We're just fans here. We don't know.
That's true. Right? That's true. We're no experts either.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think – as far as the draft goes, it's going to be very tough to say what the first five picks are even going to be. I think we all have an idea of where they're going to go. I think the top 10 is kind of I'm not going to sit here
mix and
say,
them up and
you can say
there's, you know, 10 might guys go here, you there. Know are pretty solid,
right? You just, you know, don't know, you know, where
Sauce Gardner's going in the top 10. There's no doubt.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Probably Kyle top Hamilton. Five. You know. Thibodeau, Walker, Aiden Hutchinson. Yeah, there definitely are guys that you could peg for that top 10. But, again, who knows? I mean, stranger things have happened.
No, I agree. And speaking of stranger things, there's been a lot of strange picks from the Bills over the years too, you know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure.
The one that comes to mind for me when we look back on it is C.J. Spiller. Now, he was the thing that I look at with C.J. Spiller is watching him for Clemson. He was such an explosive player.
Right.
One of the most explosive players, if not the most explosive player in college football that year. But the thing is, when it comes down to the Bills, we drafted him at number 9, right?
Right.
We had Marshawn Lynch and Freddie Jackson.
Yep.
And the Bills still took C.J. Spiller at number 9, where we could have drafted. We needed so much more. Offensive line, defense, quarterback, whatever.
Did you ever do that exercise where you go back and look at the draft, where he was drafted, and then look at the guys that came after him? Like, I haven't done that in a long time, so I don't remember any names. But that's kind of a fun exercise.
It is.
To go back and go, this is who we could have had.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, it's pretty sad when you get to that point.
Well, there's guys like that I don't lose in my head. Like the year we drafted Aaron Maben, after we drafted Maben, it was before we drafted Aaron Maben, Brian Arakpo went.
Yeah.
You know, a guy like that. You know, he had a pretty darn good career.
Yes, he did.
So it's just, it was very, very frustrating every year to watch the Bills draft. I mean, now it's something that it's like a treat almost, the way we draft now. It's these guys know what they're doing. But we just, my guys come to mind, like Mike Williams, you know, just was it a bad draft pick, or was it bad on the part of the Bills trying to develop the guy? Because
right.
when he came to Buffalo, it's not like he was a bad tackle at the time for Texas. He was one of the best in the country, but we didn't develop him right, maybe?
Correct.
You know, correct. We didn't have the coaching staff, perhaps. Like, people don't think about that. It's you. Just like, oh, it was a shitty draft pick. He didn't do shit. Well, maybe our coaching staff fucked it up.
Well, you know, and it's funny because I've looked back at 2018, for example, and we obviously were 100% on board. We both thought that Josh Allen would be the best quarterback for the Bills that season, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think I can honestly say that. I know it sounds like bullshit probably to a lot of people who don't know or have heard a lot of our podcasts, but this is something we've covered extensively.
Yeah.
So you look back at 2017. The Bills trade away their 10th round pick to the Kansas City Chiefs, and they draft Patrick Mahomes. And was it his first season? Like, he played that season behind Alex Smith, maybe?
Yes. Yep.
So already people are going, you had like the 10th pick. There's a lot of players you could have got with a 10th pick to probably help your team a lot.
Right.
And they went and got a cornerback, not what a lot of people would, if you're drafting a quarterback, a wide receiver, a running back in the first round, people get excited. If you're drafting a cornerback in the first round, they're going, yeah, okay, you know, all right.
Yeah, because we could have drafted Mahomes.
Yeah, we could have drafted Mahomes. I'm sure there were other wide receivers that were drafted that year mm-hmm. that probably fans would have been super excited about.
Right.
Right? So, okay, so now the following year, it's 18, and the first pick they make, they move up, give up a ton of draft capital to draft Josh Allen at number 7.
Right.
So looking back now, I can see why a lot of people probably went, what the fuck? Mm-hmm. We traded away Patrick Mahomes. Now, he hadn't played at that point, so they don't know he's going to be a superstar.
You knew he was going to be
But you knew he's going to be good. Pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah, you knew he's going to be pretty good.
Which makes me wonder, you know, the question that I have is, what did they not see in Patrick Mahomes? Why wouldn't they want to draft him at number 10?
I don't know.
You know, because did they already know that Josh Allen was going to be there?
This is Sean McDermott's draft.
Yeah.
This is before Brandon Bean was even there.
Correct.
So there's nobody like Sean McDermott can't look around the room and go, oh, this is somebody else's fault. No, man, this is on him.
Right.
But
not complaining that we got Josh, but
right.
It just makes you wonder why he passed up on Pat Mahomes. Yeah.
What was it he saw that he didn't like?
Right. Right.
You know, because they certainly could have had him at 10.
Well,
I mean, they could have traded back to 15,
right,
or 20, or right out of the first round. Like, they could have traded up to get Patrick Mahomes. I mean, there's a million things they could have done. But that being said, that Brandon Bean's first draft, Josh Allen, Tremaine Edmonds, it put some solidity into their ability to draft. But I still remember having conversations that year with people going, I'm not sure these guys can draft for offense.
Oh, yeah.
And actually the following year, too, because Josh Allen had a pretty rough first year. He wasn't supposed to play. Then he ends up playing. A lot of people going, I don't think they can evaluate talent on offense. Right? Didn't they draft Zay Jones, too? Didn't Sean McDermott draft Zay Jones in the second round after Trey White?
Yeah, but here's the thing that kind of comes to play, right, is when Brandon Bean came in to take, you know, the GM spot, it's almost like he had to clean up Sean McDermott a little bit.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? Because McDermott traded out and, you know, he didn't want Pat Mahomes for whatever reason, and he gets Trey White, which worked out fine. But then you got Zay Jones that turned out to be just a joke.
Right.
You know, after that, Deion Dawkins, he did.
Yeah.
That was a good pick.
But
it's like when you get a guy like Bean coming in, now it's almost like he was like, let me evaluate the talent, you stick to coaching.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And since Bean's been there, he's done what he's done. Yep. But it just feels like McDermott kind of had stuff for Bean to clean up in a way.
Right. So if you think about it, it's 5 drafts since Sean McDermott's, right? I think Brandon Bean Is this his fourth one coming up?
Yes.
Okay, this will be his fourth draft. So it's four drafts that have taken place so far. In the first two rounds, they've drafted two offensive players, Josh Allen and Zay Jones.
Yep.
That's it.
Right.
Like, all the running backs were in the third round. Dawson Knox was in the third round.
Gabe Davis. They,
yeah, was fourth or fifth. I mean, they haven't drafted a wide receiver in the top three rounds yet. So I don't know what that tells us about this coming draft.
Does that tell you anything?
Do you guys want to know why he passed on Mahomes?
Why?
In 2019, he did an interview talking about it. So basically what he's saying is that they knew Whaley and his staff were out the door. He only had had 3 months on the team to make that call as to who they were going to take in the first round. And he said he didn't have the right time or attitude to think about what quarterback would be good to draft. And when nine other teams passed on him, he just assumed it was a good idea. Like, he said he didn't have enough time to evaluate quarterback because he didn't think it was
needed. That's true.
That's what McDermott said.
Yeah. He said that we had Tyrod Taylor. And he said he said we knew he wasn't our, you know, play
franchise
caller,
guy.
But that he was good enough. So he was looking at other stuff.
Basically. So what does that kind of tell you a little bit?
Like, maybe the GM should have came first.
Right. 100%. Right. A guy that knows talent and how to evaluate it.
At the same time, now look at the big picture. You're sitting here. It's 2021, 2022
draft. 22, yep.
Yeah, 2022 draft coming up. And, we're sitting on a pretty fucking good team. So at the same time, I guess I wouldn't change too much, so.
Yeah, you can't sit here and rip McDermott apart.
That's kind of a weird.
What Jason said makes sense, and I totally get it. But it's like, dude, like
that sucks.
Maybe you just. I'm like, and again, I'm not sitting here dwelling that we don't have Pat Mahomes, but sometimes you can
his
look.
His exact words about that specific call were, "We spent too much time evaluating all the other stuff. We didn't give it enough time to look at quarterback."
That is so weird, though.
Yeah.
Why would you like that? Is the one position that the Bills have not had for 20 something years.
But not for him. For him, it was 3 months.
I know, but it's like you know what you're walking into, man.
Right. Well, but again, I mean, whose fault is it that we're sitting on a GM that absolutely sucks?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, Pegula should have done something way before then. Way before that.
He could have, should have, but who knows?
It does suck. But you're right.
Yeah.
Quarterback is the most important position in the NFL.
Yeah.
And I would have taken a flyer. Now, maybe he just didn't want to look like shit if the guy turned out to be Mitch Trubisky or something.
They mentioned that nobody could have predicted, you know, how good he would be.
No, right. Nobody could have. I mean, he was coming out of college as a fairly highly touted quarterback. I was surprised in that draft that, you know, he got up to 10, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
But do you think it's possible that, like, before he came in, he was looking at, like, the future talent that would be coming up
the following year? That's what I was thinking. He could have had conversations with Brandon.
There's just so many good options out there. We don't have to take a quarterback yet. We can wait.
Well, that's what I'm wondering. Like, how far ahead do these guys look? Like, they had to have known Josh.
He actively admitted it. He knew we had Tyrod for a year to not worry about it.
Right.
You know? Like,
he had his bridge quarterback.
He's serviceable, good enough.
Yeah. Yeah, I get it. It's just wonder.
And he still got him in the playoffs.
It just makes you wonder. Like, insane. Yeah, I know. It just makes you wonder, though. Like, all right, did they look at Josh Allen, Josh Rose, and Baker Mayfield?
Everybody knows, you know, it was a much better draft.
Right.
The depth at quarterback was way better.
100%. But is that enough?
Maybe that was enough for them to go.
Enough to be like, let's get a solidified corner this year.
It seems like it had to be.
It kind of seems like it was.
It was a safer bet too.
Yeah,
you're not going to look like a jerk when you draft a quarterback and the guy can't play football.
I know.
Now you're talking about an ego move, though, and that's like,
well, to a certain extent, it's
ignorance and ego are totally different. You know what I mean?
But it's also self-preservation.
Well, true.
Right. I mean, if your first move is just a killer to the franchise because you blew up a first-round pick, it's hard to keep your job.
Yeah, I get what you mean.
You could look at the two sides of the pillow, right? Like, you could be like,
dude, what the fuck? Don't you look at me when you say that.
The hot, drooly side and the cold, wonderful side.
Exactly. But what I mean is, like, a new coach coming in to a franchise that is desperately in need for a quarterback, you'd be like, let's get a freaking quarterback. Let's make a splash.
Keep drafting quarterbacks till we get a good one, right?
But, yeah. Hey.
Like I said, it worked out. It worked out.
It did.
All right, guys.
All right.
Yeah, what do we say? We're approaching an hour. I think we're about done.
Yeah. Tell them how to listen to Ending the Drought, Jay.
You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at ETD Buffalo. And you can find our podcast hosted on pretty much every platform, primarily on Anchor.fm and Apple.
Thanks, everybody, for listening. Happening draft. Man, how come nobody can talk
today? You caught it from me. I don't know. Yeah.
No, I'm trying to say happy draft day to all you Buffalo Bills fans out there.
Hoping
to make a good splash in this draft, and just really want to see this franchise keep moving forward. So we're definitely excited.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Just want to end it with, where else would you rather be than right here, right now? Go Bills!
Go Bills!